Good morning, Texas. Good morning, website family. Good morning, visitors, if there are any. I don't usually find out if there's any visitors. If there are, good morning. This is program number 107. This is our Cup of Goodness program, where we talk about the goodness of God. When people say, God is so good, they don't really have any idea how good God truly is. What's going on in churches today, our pastors are preaching the Gospels preached to the Jews, and that was the severity of God. We're talking about the goodness of God, Romans chapter 2, the goodness that Paul preaches about as he was taught from the risen Savior, not the earthly Jesus. Now, this last week, we have been talking about music. And I think by now you understand that I really believe without a shadow of a doubt that music has become the latest issue. And I figure probably the last issue in the churches that pastors are going to have to deal with. And unfortunately, from what I have seen over my years of being a pastor or following the pastoral scene and talking with pastors and teachers, preachers, missionaries, most of those folks are not even willing to deal with music. In fact, most of them are not even able to deal the problems with music because they don't understand the language of music. And besides that, they're happy now. People are coming to church more. The people are happier. They've got music now. The preaching's taken a back seat to music. The congregational singing's taken a back seat to those good, talented families that have been coming in. It's all about gain. And I think you've heard me say a number of times, what God thinks about those that think gain is godliness. We're supposed to withdraw from those folks and stay away from them. In fact, if anybody out there happens to be a King James Bible-believing Baptist or whatever, you've allowed the music problem to come into your church as well. There's talented orchestras and groups and ensembles now coming into your churches. There's music specials that are actually magnificent performances. There's piano players that tickle the ivories as good as Liberace. If anybody knows Liberace, and in many places they sound like Liberace. Christian families are traveling all over the country, playing their family's music in a performance mode that takes the place of most congregational singing, and if you like it that well, you can buy it on CD. We don't have famous preachers today, we have famous musicians. Wait, I mean artists. But as we continue with the music, even though I did say in Friday's program that we were going to be done with the music, but we're not. I've got a couple more things I've been thinking about and looking up and just kind of preparing. So I got a couple more things for this morning. This morning, we're going to look at something that I think is extremely interesting. We do know that music is a language, okay? And we know that this music that we listen to, any kind of music, it'll work in us and it'll work on us, and it will actually work us. It is called the universal language. No matter what our nationality is or what our race is, we all respond to music. And it doesn't even matter whether or not we are aware of what is going on in or with that music. We will respond. David did it to King Saul. We helped him physically, mentally, and spiritually. He really could make things happen with his music. We talked about that on Friday, I think it was. And I think people want to be aware of what the Holy Spirit does. But do they realize that if you do a study on the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit today, you will see that music pretty much can do it almost all as well. King Saul learned what music does, learned that it was just temporary. And the other thing that music cannot do is it cannot be the sword when it comes to taking away our soul from our flesh, spiritual circumcision as many call it. Without a doubt, I believe that music is the spirit of America. Music mimics everything that the Holy Spirit wants to try to do. Except, like I say, cut away our soul from the flesh. And wouldn't that just be the trick of the devil? The power that's in that music today, that would match the power of the Spirit of God, yet it would be a fake one? It's a study that you should do sometime. You just study the work of the Holy Spirit. And then if you know anything about music, you'll recognize the fact that, hey, music can do that same thing for me. Or else maybe I'll do it sometime. And those folks out there that don't want to do their own Bible studies or do their own concordance studies, I'll probably do it for you sometime. You don't even have to send me any money. I'll do it for free. That's kind of the way things are going these days for the Paul preachers and the Bible preachers, everybody else except those new modern musical preaching people. They're the ones making the big bucks in their churches now. Anyway, enough of that. I'm going to show you something this morning that's pretty fascinating about your King James Bible. If you want to get more details after what I'm done talking about here, a book called In Awe of Thy Word, author is Ripinger. It's a fantastic book about the English language and about the King James Bible. All sorts of things. It makes a fantastic reference book, short reading, different segments of the book. Here's a quote from that book. The Bible is a grammatical wonder. And within the grammatical structure are some amazing ways that words and letters are used. And when people wonder about the English language of the King James Bible being the only, this is dealt with. It's a very simple thing. We'll even have to talk about that one of these days. Why does it just have to be English? But we're going to see this morning that there is no other modern Bible version at all that even comes close to the things I'm going to talk about this morning. We read in Psalms chapter 40, verse 3, for example, where it says, And ye have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, I have recently done a quick study, and I've noticed that the modern Bibles take the word song and praise and sing, and they change all those verses to music. They change all those verses by changing the words to the word music. Now, we saw in Daniel chapter 3 that the Nebuchadnezzar made everybody bow down to his image at the sounds of all kinds of music. Well, that's what's going to happen again. And in fact, these modern Bibles have taken out the word melody, taken out the word praise and song and singing, and have substituted the word music. So in general, music is supported in the modern Bibles to be the power. Power of God? No, not the power of God at all. So this new song that he gives to us says, He hath put a new song in my mouth. Does he give you a new music? Does he give you a new... See what I'm saying? It's a new song. And he's the one that put it into our mouth. Okay, so if we're out there, we've got this talent, and we've got this musical skill, etc., etc. And then people say, well, God gave that to you. If God gave that to you, have you done any practicing? See, if God gave that to you, you don't have to practice. It's just there. And we know that that's not the case. So I'm going to show you this morning that the King James Bible is the song that God gives us. This new song, what is it? It's a King James Bible. Now, if you understand a little bit about music, maybe possibly you understand a little bit about poetry as well. The elements of music, melody, harmony, and rhythm, they all take place within this Bible. Obviously, the melody are the Bible verses themselves. That's the melody. That's what you sing. He wants us to sing melody. He says that in Ephesians and Colossians. He talks about those things. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs make a melody in our heart. Okay. So the harmony, if you rightly divide your Bible is in complete harmony with itself. But you've got to understand and be able to rightly divide. What Paul writes about Paul's teachings, that's all within harmony. You try to match those teachings, those words, those verses, with what Jesus taught to the Jews through the apostles, you know, John and James and Jude and all these guys, Peter and all these guys. It clashes with what Paul writes. So there you've got dissonant. You don't have pleasant, pleasing harmonies. But if you're rightly divide that Bible, you will have your harmonies. Well, what about the rhythm thing? What about this, the beat as such? Well, you'll find out that there's a rhythm to a King James Bible that is not any other Bible. You'll find out, as I've said here, there's a harmony in this Bible. And you'll find out that the melody is the melody that God wants us to sing. Now, let me show you some things here. Within a King James Bible, let's kind of look at the poetic aspect of this thing. We know that music and hymns and things are all geared around poetry, poeticness as such, and the proper usages of grammar. And here's one. I think you've heard the word alliteration, where the first letter and the first sound of these different words are all the same. For example, fowls were filled with their flesh, with Revelation 19:21, the collar of my coat, Job chapter 30, verse 18. See, we got fowls, you got that F sound. Fowls were filled with their flesh, the collar of my coat. Appear, anoint, counsel, clothe, tried, fire, wretched, rich raiment. Got those sounds together. It gives it a smoothness, gives it a grammatical smoothness. How about this? How about rhymes? King James Bible has rhymes. I counsel thee to buy of me. Thou mayest be, thou mayest see. And how about rhythm? Rhythm? Here's a quote from that book. The King James Bible takes full advantage of the stressed times rhythms, which I guess is called isochronous, of the English language. Stressed syllables often occur at mathematically predictable intervals. Well, what are you talking about here? Well, here's some examples. Mayest be. You get the rhythm. You got the emphasis of the beat. Mayest be. Nakedness. I counsel thee to buy of me. What do we have there? We have pickup letters, pickup words, pickup notes. If you know anything about music, you've got these notes that pop up before the measure itself. I counsel thee to buy of me. Thou mayest be, thou mayest see. There is a similar beat pattern that matches our heart pattern as one reads through the King James Bible. So we have to look to our heart. We have to look to how our heart beats. The musical scientists out there that have studied this stuff have said that Mozart music, and you have to understand about what they call the Mozart effect and the cleanliness of his music as such, says that any music that's played at 60 beats per minute matches the heart, which a lot of Mozart music does. So this 60 beats matches the heart, and this is the reason why kids get the comfort they get the calmness, and their better school scores and everything, because this Mozart music is played at that speed. So now, bunny trailing just for a second here. If they've determined that 60 beats per minute, you know, give or take a few beats here per minute, is what calms down kids, is what comforts kids, what do you suppose this spastic type speed, this fast music, this offbeat music, this rock music today, this Christian rock music, the music that's going on in churches today, music that's going on everywhere, which doesn't follow the first and third beat, which is what your heart follows. It doesn't follow the pattern. It doesn't move along the same time your heart does. Don't you suppose that could be a big reason why kids are so neurotic and wild and excited to where you can't even calm them down? Look at the music that the adults play that their kids listen to. Look at the music. You think an adult's going to recognize anything? Maybe an adult can handle that kind of music, like they say they can handle. Yeah, I can drink 60 bottles of beer. I'm fine. I can hold it. Well, what about these kids? They can't do that. So you don't let kids do that. Then you got this music. Adults seem to think they can handle this music, but look what it must be doing to the children. You know, you've got food allergies, you've got immunization issues, you've got all sorts of things, games, computer games, you've got all sorts of things going after the nerves, the excitability of our kids. Why doesn't anybody look at the music that the teens are listening to when they're causing troubles in school, the little kids that are going, they're getting so wild and crazy that they have to put them on medicines and pills of some sort? I wonder if anybody's ever asked and checked about their music. Well, I have. And I don't get very far with it. Nobody's interested. Why aren't they interested? Because they like it. That's not going to stop people. Well, just keep in mind, folks, that this King James Bible has got a rhythm to it. There's a harmony in this Bible, and there's a melody. And by looking especially at these grammatical things, this is written like a song. It's got a rhythm to it, and it's comforting. Well, why don't people like that? Well, why don't people like Mozart and Handel and Bach music today? They need to have that fired up rock and roll beat, the off beat, the jazz beat, all the kind of genres that are out there, hundreds of them. Okay, get back on the trail. Here we go. Alliteration and rhyme, tying some words together. Here we go. Tried in the fire, the shame of thy nakedness, eye salve that thou mayest see. Phonesthesia. There's one for a grammatical thing, phonesthesia. Definition. One of the key linguistic tools in phonesthesia, or otherwise called sound symbolism of individual letters. Each individual letter and its corresponding sound contributes to the emotional effect that a word has. Advertisers are aware of this in all of our commercials and ads. If the impression of a harsh, strong product is desired, it could be called, for example, Tide or Clorox. It's got some hard sounds to it. Tide, Clorox. A soft, light, and gentle product might be named Oil of Olay. You see the point? Powerful and sharp words are created using letters which are called plosives. When the letters P, B, T, K, and G are pronounced, the air pressure which has been built up in the mouth is released explosively. So, you know that the words in the Bible are going to follow that plan. There is music that fits Philippians 4:8. And the only music that fits that description existed in the late Baroque and early classical era of Japheth. Japheth, one of the sons of Noah, the one that went to Europe. God said he would enlarge the works of Japheth, and Japheth is the bunch that came up with the music that was considered and called at one time absolute music. The world called it absolute music. It was music in its purest form that it had progressed up to and had worked away from. Good old Beethoven, the one that everybody likes to listen to, started to take that absolute music, and not only did he write it to please his gods, really? Well, yeah, didn't you know the Ode to Joy has nothing to do with God and is sung all over in our churches? Joy is a goddess that he's worshiping with that music. Just go read the Ode to Joy. That's not about the God of creation, not at all. But Beethoven is the one that took that absolute music and changed the emotions, took away the purity of the music and added man's feelings to it, which is why people like to listen to Beethoven. They can identify with the feelings. And if a person listens to Handel, Haydn, Bach, Vivaldi, not that all of their music is pure, but you listen to that era, and you will find music was written, that was when music was written in its purest form, and that's the standard you can use when you look at music today. Shem and Ham, don't need to spend any time on them. Shem's music is spiritual, remember the melody, but has grown to be New Age today. Ham's music is nothing but emphasis on rhythm and flesh, and we all know that the flesh profiteth nothing. God is not interested in the beat. He's not interested. He's into melody. And by the way, you know this bluegrass and the southern stuff that seems to just be everywhere, especially down south, but it's worked its way up north? That music is just nothing but beat. You may not have a drum set in that music down there, but you've got the beat in that music. That old banjo is getting far more popularity in our churches than it ought to, because it ought to get none. Banjo is just melody played with a rhythm, emphasizing the rhythm. So now, we just spent a few minutes here on looking at the King James Bible is music to God's ears. I'm going to read some verses to you. Just think of that. Okay, we're talking about the Word of God. That is God's pure music. It's all the elements and rhythms that music has, and it's properly balanced and pure. Now listen to these verses, and then picture the King James Bible as what he gave to us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You do that when you read your Bible. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How do you do that? Read your Bible. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, the power of music will cover that, will imitate that, will mimic that. But what we have is we have it in our scriptures. Psalm 42, verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Read your Bible at night. That's a song. That's what he wants to hear for your music. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and his vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. There's your scripture, see? Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. and yet put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, which I read earlier. I will praise you, Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Now remember, these modern Bibles change all those words to music. I will play music. I will perform music. They turn that into a musical ministry. That Bible is the music that God wants to hear. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathens, and sing praises unto thy name. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. When you read your Bible, now just think about this. When you read your King James Bible, you are singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Your reading is music to God's ears. You've never thought about it that way, have you? Now remember, it's got all the makings of music. It's got the melodies. It's got harmonies if it's rightly divided. And it's got the rhythm and the rhymes and the alliteration and the phonothesia in there. All those little tricks in there in the English language that no other language has and no other Bible has. Now, I'm going to give you some references here. And if you're interested in this, I'm going to challenge you to look these verses up here. Psalm 46:10, Proverbs 3:7, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 16, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 5, verse 17, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, Isaiah 62:10, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, chapter 33, verse 3, and verse 13, Lamentations, all of chapter 3, especially verses 7 and 8, and then look at chapter 4, verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 26, 1 Thessalonians 2, 17, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 17, verse 29, Revelation chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, 18, 20, 22, chapter 4, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 6, and verse 12 and 13. Those are just a few of the examples that I've looked up, and I have found the musical elements in there. And in fact, when I read some of those verses, here I'll just do one. I think I've got a few seconds here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I can hardly say that verse without singing it. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Bum, bum, ba-da. Now you take the beat and you add the rock beat to that thing, you spoil the rhythm. If you change the words, you spoil the melody. And if you try to apply something else from Jesus, you're messing with the harmonies. If you take them out of the Gospels. Now, unless you're really a deep into music, understand music a little bit, I'm going to guess that you probably don't understand the poetic value of a King James Bible. You've got the sounds, you've got the consonants, you've got the vowels, you've got repetitions in there, you've got the letters and the words having identical sounds, you've got rhythm in there, you see the part about melody, you see the phrases that fit other verses. You'll see those phrases if you read those other verses I just read to you there. You'll see rhyming phrases. You'll see rhythmic patterns in there. This truly is the perfect and pure music. God had to write this song. And this is a song that you can put in your mouth and you can sing to others that they would hear. Do we need to go out there and perform a bunch of music and concerts and performances? No. We need to be reading our King James Bible. That's music to God's ears. Well, we'll see what we come up with tomorrow's program as well. See you tomorrow, folks.